Well, this morning we're going to begin another series of teachings. I've just entitled it a Covenant of Blessing. We're going to look at Abraham and Abraham's covenant. I'm going to talk about these things. I was going along with this here. In fact, it was the week before last, you know, and then God began to just bring up in my spirit about Abraham and just would do it, and I just sort of didn't. I thought, well, maybe he was going to want me to move in that direction. And so, you know, you just sort of get thinking in your own mind things that could you teach over there because, you know, but had an experience on Monday. I was out running. I've had this happen to me many times out running because, and I've talked about it over the years, the Lord taught me how to, and he said about how to learn, we're going out and running, how to not focus on your body. And I found this out. It's really important. You know, most people, they want to hear from God. People got to really work at it. They got to spend a lot of time trying to get their body and get themselves quiet and their minds quiet. And, you know, there's things you need to learn to do to train yourself to do that. You can't always sit down and, you know, spend a bunch of time. You know, I've, over the years, I've found this out. Things come up and you can't always take a whole bunch of time. You need to hear. And if you don't know how to get yourself quiet where you can hear, you don't know how to do that, you need to train yourself. And you can train that in your life. Well, the Lord taught me on that, on running. Now see, running, your body can get pretty noisy. Like, gee, I don't know if I ought to want to do this. I don't know, this is, you know, we could walk. It'd be easier. And, you know, you think of that. But you know, I got over it as learning to not focus on my body, but listen out of my spirit. And so I just started over time. I would do things. I would go out and run. See, when I go out and run, first thing I do, I meditate on things. I mean, like meditate on things of God. There are things I will talk about. I pray in other tongues while I'm running. You know, when you run, you shouldn't be all out of breath anyhow. You shouldn't do that. It's not good for you to be where you can't breathe. You're not getting enough oxygen into your system. Don't be surprised if something goes wrong. You know, I've learned over the years, I did a lot of running, used to run long distances and stuff. And I found out, you know, I could always keep myself where I can talk, you know, when I'm running. And, you keep yourself where you're breathing good. And, so I was going along and I was just sort of, and I was meditating on things and I got over about this thing because it kept coming up to me about Abraham. And so I asked the Lord about it. It was one of those things that, you know, sometimes, you know, you ask the Lord about something and maybe a little something come, but the Holy Spirit just began to talk. And it just started opening up scriptures, like things that I knew and just scripture, things from dealing back in the book of Genesis, just going through it and going through it and going through it. And I'm running along and I'm thinking, wow. And, you know, he showed me some things that I'd never known before. And it's there in scripture, but just looking at it, I really got some enlightenment about it. And we're dealing with a covenant because we need to understand this. We have a Bible and it says Old Covenant and it says New Covenant. But really it's not accurate. If you go to the New Covenant, you know, if we go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're Old Covenant. As Jesus is a prophet under the Old Covenant. And you go back, the book of Genesis is not under the law. Yet, the Jews called the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, but really, Genesis wasn't the law. And the covenant that we stand in today, its foundation is in Genesis, not in the law. Abraham was not under the law. He wasn't under it. And the covenant God made with Abraham was a covenant of promise. The law is not a promise. The law is, you don't do right, you're in trouble. That's the law. And so, we need to understand, now, we need to understand the importance of the law. The law, through the law, we learn to know, really, what sin was through the law. That's how you learn. The Bible says this in the New Covenant. Paul wrote and said that the law is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. The law does this. The law finds you guilty. It finds you guilty. That's what it is. The law was not to make you feel better about you. It was, and for the Jews, it was very difficult for them because they loved the law. And instead of understanding that the law found them guilty, they thought they were righteous because they followed it. Well, they didn't do a good job of following it. But they tried to do that. They tried to be righteous through law. You can't do it. Righteousness is always by faith. And Abraham's covenant, the covenant of blessing, is always faith with God. It is always faith. It's nothing else. You know, we know people, I know over the years, you know, I'm a faith preacher and stuff, and people, oh, you know, we're you know, extremists on faith, and we're, you know, we, faith is really, I'm sorry, there's no other covenant. That our covenant that we're in today is the one that was founded in Abraham, and it's a covenant of faith. You get saved by it. You walk in the grace of God by it, by faith. You can't do it. It isn't by your performance. Now, we may do things, but understand this, is our faith is what God's looking for. The Bible says without faith, you cannot please Him. It says you can't. It didn't say, well, maybe you could do something you'd just really be happy with. He said you can't please Him without faith. It is a requirement of faith. And so, we're trusting, and we trust in a God that we don't see. You know, I don't see God today. But I know God's in me. I know that. And see, I live in the witness of that. See, but I started off, God wasn't in me, and He didn't show up in me till I believed. Amen. Never did happen. See, faith is always first. People are always trying to have a feeling first or having something to see first or something like that. Then I'm going to believe. It's not the way it works. It doesn't work in that manner. It's to believe, hallelujah, and then things manifest. And so, Abraham, we're going to take a look at this. Abraham, to me, is a very interesting character. If we take, you know, who he was in his time, and I want you to think about Abraham's time. Abraham, when Abraham, God called him to go into the land. Now, it says he was 75 years old. At the time that he went into the land, Noah's oldest son, Shem, was still alive. Shem lived 500 years past the flood. So we had they actually had people who were really alive actually carrying the story of the time before the flood and after the flood was actually over into these days and times. Now it's very interesting because we have most of the world were idol worshipers at this time. Even so, you know, we need to understand this. When we deal with Abraham, we need to understand of the limited knowledge that they had. Most of the time, Christianity does this, and you need to be careful yourself. You cannot look at the old covenant and go back and look at people and measure them against the knowledge we have of what they did. You know, it's like, I was looking and studying some things about the time period, but I found this one minister had this thing, 15 mistakes that Abraham made. And I thought, well, we'll write an article about you, about the 590 that you made. You know, let's get that. You know what? I will guarantee you, when I look down things that he said, they weren't mistakes. Why? It's the knowledge the man had. God blessed him in what we called mistakes. Does God bless when you do wrong? Well, we need to get ourselves over when we understand about doing wrong. In Romans, the third chapter, I'm going to read verse 20 to you there, just to sort of lay a little groundwork about this. In Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, once you get by the law's the knowledge of sin. Well, if the law did not exist in Abraham's time, then Abraham would have definitely been limited concerning the knowledge of sin, wouldn't he? See, we have the law to tell us everything that's wrong. That's why I love the faith life, because, I mean, there's a lot wrong. My perfection before God isn't that I do everything right. Amen. It's my faith. It's my faith that He did everything right. God blesses my life by all He did. See, Christians are trying to get blessed by all that they do. And we want to be, look, we want to walk right, we want to do things, but understand this about Abraham. Abraham was not, number one, he wasn't born again. You have the Spirit of God in you. He did not. He didn't have the Spirit of God in him. And so we can't measure him against Christianity. We can't measure him against the law. Now in Romans, the 4th chapter, verse 15 says this, because the law brings about wrath, he says, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Now see, we need to understand this. Here's where people don't get it. You know, we look at Cain, and Cain did something wrong, with killing his brother. But Cain wasn't under the law. If Cain was under law, God would have had to order have him put to death. Did God do that? Why? Wasn't no law. He didn't. Now, under the law, you murdered somebody, you're getting put to death. And see, God didn't judge him according to law, the law, because the law didn't exist. See, it's hard for Christians to understand that because, see, we measure everything against what we know. And we look back and read the Old Testament, we measure them against everything that we know, but God didn't. And really, we need to understand this about our own life. You know, when I got saved, thank God, He didn't measure me against all the knowledge of the New Testament. I'd have never made it. Well, He didn't. And I've told you guys, I got blessed so much as a young Christian. As I grew and I got older, I started realizing God did so much for me because I was a baby. Wasn't because I was doing everything really good. It's because I'm just, you know, I'm still walking as best I can, you know. I'm stumbling around, falling, you know, getting up and going. You know, I had some banged up knees in those days. But, you know, God blessed me. Why? I walked in the knowledge I had. Amen. See, and that's what God expects us, just walk in the knowledge you have. Not in somebody else's. We have the tendency to try to put somebody else in the knowledge that we have. Can't do that. Need to understand where people are. And this is how God operates. Because you just wear yourself out. See, I used to listen to Kenneth Hagin teach when I first started off. And I was sort of like the kid. Sort of like my grandson, Braden, when he was really little. And him and I hung out a lot together. Braden, I'd do things and Braden would always try to do what I did. And he couldn't do it. And he used to get frustrated. It just frustrated him. And, you know, like with just with toys, putting stuff together, doing things, he's, you know, trying to, and it just ain't working. And I'd do it, and it just frustrated him. But I'd have to talk to him. It's okay. You know, it's all right. Because, see, you do. A lot of times in Christianity, I found myself, I would listen to Kenneth Hagin teach, and I'd look at things in the Bible, and I'd think, man, I ought to be doing that. Ain't no way I could do that. But I was frustrating myself. God had to deal with me of that. Of walking in the light of what I had or what I could do. Just do what I could do. And because what happens, you frustrate your own faith. You'll do that. What I learned to do is walk in faith with where I'm at. What happens is this. You get over here trying to perform something in faith and what you can do, you don't even do. And it messes everything up. Now do what you can do. Walk in faith where you're at. You know. Believe God where you can believe God. Walk in the light of it. I found this out. Some people pick up certain things much faster than other people do. In life, it's that way. Lots of times that has to do with our backgrounds of how we're raised. You know? And how we're trained to think. I found out that when I came along, I had to really train myself to think totally different. In a lot of areas that I was raised to think around religion and stuff and things like that. I really trained myself in that area how to think. Because, see, all those ways that people have, I found this out. I found people, loads of times, people don't ever go to church or never been Christians or anything, or church people, full of religious ideas. I say, what on earth? See, life is full of religious ideas and people have them and they don't realize they train themselves in it. And they think that way, and they've been operating in their life that way. And what happens? They end up practicing things in that manner. And yet they'll turn around and say, well, I'm not religious. Oh, yeah, you are. You're a lot more religious than you realize you are. A lot more religious than you really think you are. And so I learned how to train myself to break the religious habits of the ways of that I thought. And that's just spending time in the Word, getting to know God, hallelujah, and God teaching us. But we want to look at this Abraham because, number one, he's quite unique for his time and God dealing with him. We need to understand this. There are other people in the earth. Remember, the Bible is giving us the information that we need here. It doesn't give us all the information. There are people in the earth in his time that other people God is dealing with. Abraham ain't the only guy. He's not the only one. You know, there's a Melchizedek. There's in the earth. We have from the book of Genesis and the Old Testament, really only a mention of him in the Psalms one time. There's nothing really said about this guy. And we doesn't find out till we go over to Hebrews and we have in Hebrews and talks about him. But, you know, he's a priest of God. There's a priest of God in the earth at that time. And it's over toward the Canaan. Now this is very interesting because God calls Abraham, as we get into look at this, God calls Abraham to Canaan. Now we think of this, I'm going to take you over here to this place, I'm going to bless you over there, and I'm going to go over there. That's like telling me you're going to take me to Iran today to bless me. Christians have no clue what it was like in that land. There was a lot of ugly stuff going on in those nations, the worship of their gods. You know, the Canaanites were not a good bunch of folk. And so, God's saying, look, we really don't understand any earth in that time period. And we're going to find out as we go along here, God showed me some things concerning covenant and what it does. Even in blessing the ungodly, it opens the door for God to reach in. Abraham's covenant was going to be to bless the whole world, to bless all the nations. There was a covenant God was going to establish. It was going to give him a right to reach in to the ungodly. And to ones, really, that were not directly under Abraham, but still God was going to be able to reach. And what I found this out, the Lord started to deal with me, and I started to see that didn't happen only when Jesus Christ came. That happened with Abraham. God became to deal with the nations around Abraham. God's dealing with them. God's working because there's a covenant and God established a covenant. And the Lord said, I used to always wonder this. I would always wonder this. How come when back before the flood, the devil just run and took over everything? Well, we know the devil took over because God had to destroy all. He only had one guy that was righteous left. Noah. Bible never says Noah's family was righteous. Never says a thing about him. It says Noah was righteous. I mean, he come down to one guy. I used to always wonder this. I never asked the Lord about it. But I often wondered, well, how come didn't the devil take over again after that? Why didn't he, you know, we got rid of it? What changed? Well, I found out what's changed, this covenant we're going to talk about. This is what changed everything. I've never been taught this by anybody but the Holy Ghost talk to me about it. That doesn't mean somebody else don't know about it. They may know about it, but I never heard anybody teach on it. I just got the teaching while I was out running. And the Lord showed me some things. And I got to get this run over. I got to go back and look in the scripture. I got to read these things. I got to see this stuff. And so God did something. It's the power of a covenant. Abraham's covenant is totally 100% different than any covenant made up to the time of him that God dealt, even like with Noah and those things. His covenant is totally different. His covenant's an everlasting covenant. Because the covenant made through the covenant, Jesus Christ, the covenant of Jesus Christ was founded in Abraham. It's founded in him. Bible tells us. So we didn't get a new covenant from that standpoint. We got an extension and the full blessing of the covenant that started with Abraham. That Abraham's blessing came to fulfillment in Christ. Came to its fullness in Christ Jesus. That might be different than you have thought or things about covenant. But the Bible we'll find teaches it. We can't talk about the new covenant with talking about Abraham. I mean, just think about this. If we go back over to book of Galatians, if we go back to Galatians, I'll read this to you. You all know it, but listen. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, as is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Spirit was given to Abraham. Christ fulfilled Abraham's covenant. See, there was a curse. There was a curse on sin. It's just like Cain. Cain's sin, there's a curse on sin. It was in the earth the whole time. It was in here. He got cursed by that. It cursed him. Sin did. He knew he was doing something wrong. How did he know? Well, I don't know, but I just know in that time he knew because God spoke to him about it. God spoke to him as if he knew he was doing something wrong. So understand this. He became, you know, the Bible talks about a person becoming a law unto themselves. In other words, maybe you weren't, somebody's raised in this world who's not raised under, that doesn't know anything about the law of Moses. But you're in a culture, and I won't tell you what, if your conscience bothers you to you doing a certain thing and it's wrong, when you go, if you do it, you sinned. You sinned against the law that you established. See, I wondered about this. When I came into the kingdom, I would hear preachers say this, well, these word people out in the world, they don't know that they're doing wrong. And I thought, they don't? Then how can God send them to hell? Well, would you be just a person don't know? Would you take a child who don't know they're doing something wrong? And, you know, when you try to explain something to them, are you going to judge them for they don't know? Well, I thought, well, that's not just. Well, I thought, well, God's not just if they don't know. So, see, I questioned. So I went to the Lord about this. I said, these preachers are saying these things. I want to know. And the Lord said to them this, do people know what they're doing wrong? He said, go around the people you work with, who you know are sinners, they don't follow God, walk with God. And he said, when you see them do something you know is really wrong, do that. Ask them if they believe it's wrong what they're doing. Well, I did that. And I found this out. There was never one of them that said, no, I was doing it was all right. Every one of them said, they always made an excuse why they did it. That they're, yeah, I know it's not right, but because of this, you know, or so-and-so did that, so I did this. And I thought, they're guilty of sin. They know they're doing wrong. They know. You know, people, we need to understand this. See, we have a conscience. A sinner, just because he's not born again, it don't mean his spirit doesn't know right or wrong. Amen. Because if you didn't know right or wrong, you could never be saved. You couldn't be saved. Impossible. You have to come to the knowledge of sin that you need a Savior. If you don't know need a Savior, well, you ain't going to, you know. Now, there's people out here, they know they're doing wrong, but they don't want Jesus because I don't want to live that life. I like doing wrong. There's people in those categories. Hallelujah. We don't want to go there, do we? We don't want to walk in the light of that. But we need to get ourselves over to understand about this thing of sin and the conscience. And thank God, I've talked about this before. Thank God we have a conscience. You know, you get born again. And we want to walk in the light of that. And so as we go over and look at it, we're going to start off to look at Abraham here. And God's dealing with him. God's going to take him. God's going to take him. And if we go on in Scripture, we'll find out about this. He came out of, it was what the Scripture is going to tell us, where he lived at. And we're going to look at these things of what happened. We're going to find this out. That most of the teaching about him, we have the idea that God just dealt with him a little and bang, hauled him over. This has done many years of past on this thing. Many years. And so Because this is sort of a new thing, you know. He's reaching into the earth. Most of the earth's all idolatry. It's not a lot of people really following God. And there's probably, I would imagine, generally speaking, there's a lot of mixture going on from what people do know God and they add on to it. We do that today a lot. We have a lot of mixture out here. But in Genesis 11 chapters, where we're going to look at that sort of thing here, a genealogy a bit here about this Abraham. He starts off, he's Abram, he's not Abraham. He doesn't get the name Abraham till the covenant's made, because Abraham is God's covenant name for him. It's a covenant name. And so God did name him. In fact, we have we look with Sarah, is a covenant name. Her original name was not. So God established and God gave them a name concerning the covenant that represented the covenant that they were in. That's really important things. If you go through the Bible and look at the people that God specifically named, there's specific people that God named. And so Abram was one of those. Now, in Genesis, the 11th chapter, in verse 27, says this is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father, Terah, in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Now, you notice you mentioned the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans have been around a long time. In fact, the name Chaldeans comes out... If you sit down and read about what they call the wise men who came to Jesus out of where they came from, Persia, or out of what today is called Iran, is where they came to. But if you go back and look in those people that were under those things, they were involved in sorcery, this and that and the other thing. They were Chaldeans. And so there was a lot of paganism and stuff out of these kind of things, of these people. They were sort of people that we wouldn't think about today. It isn't a matter of them just worshiping under gods, but they were sort of educated in that time. They were astrologers and things. There's a lot of wisdom concerning the stars and all that kind of stuff come out of them, those people. Who understanding a lot of different stuff came out of them. It wasn't they were just all into all kind of bad stuff. But so we find that Ur of the Chaldeans, this is where Abraham grows up. This is where he's at. Well, it says, then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was actually the Hebrew is, I think it's Sharia, I forget, Sarari, I think, or something like that. Sarari or something. It says it's the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, and it says the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Ishka. But it says Sarai, she was barren. She had no children. It says, and Terah took his son, Abram, and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, says his son Abram's wife, and they went out from the Ur of Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, I remember back years ago in reading this, and I thought, because people, you know, really didn't do much explaining, is the fact it said they left there to go to Canaan. And I thought, well, did Terah, was he called to go to Canaan and didn't go? Was his dad called? It says they left there and he went. Say, well, what's going on? Well, this is why you got to read, find out from other scriptures and things going on, is what's happening here. We find here, if we go over to Nehemiah, I want you to read, because we want to look at the scriptures. We could just mention these things, but it's good to know where the scriptures are. In the book of Nehemiah, the one you read a lot, you know, over there, you turn right to. In the book of Nehemiah, We find here in the ninth chapter, we're going to Nehemiah, the ninth chapter. We go over Nehemiah. This is an interesting book because this is God brought Israel back to the land after their captivity in Babylon and bringing that, building the temple, getting the city built up again and things. But these statements are made. I'm going to read you verses 7 and 8. It says, this is a prayer. It says, "You are the Lord God who chose Abraham and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abram and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give him the land of Canaan." The Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it to his descendants. It says, "You have performed your words, for you are righteous." But it says, "You brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans." You brought him out of there. Well, now, and you'll find historically about this in 1 Timothy. Turn to Acts for Acts 7 first. Acts 7 first is this, is in Acts 7, in verse 2, this is Stephen. This is the words of Stephen concerning Abram. And he makes his statement in Acts the 7th chapter in verse 2. This is Stephen, this is his message that he gives, and after he's done with it, the great loving law lovers kill him. You know, they stone him, and in fact, Jesus so appreciated these messages, it said he saw Jesus standing, you know, the right hand of God. Jesus stood up and cheered him. Hallelujah. It was a good message he preached. But listen what he said. Verse 2, and he said, "Brethren and fathers, listen." He said, "The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was what? In Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran." So it wasn't after he got to Haran and God told him to go into the land. God had already talked to him. Abraham was the reason they were heading in that direction. Well, some people say, well, why would you take such a long head up toward Haran? Why wouldn't he just go on over to Canaan? And he went that way. Well, you got to figure in traveling those days, number one, they didn't have cars, buses, planes, and all that kind of stuff. And most of the traveling and things people did, they were down in what is Ur, the Chaldeans. Ur is down near today the Persian Gulf. Does that sound familiar to you? It's not far inland off of there, on the Euphrates River. And see, people traveled roads and things were all around the areas because most of the population in those days, water was important. Especially if you got thirsty. You know, water was important. And so people lived along those areas. Number one, it was good. It was good for growing crops and stuff because a lot of them in those areas and people not irrigated. That's why the Nile River was so big. That was such an important thing because the irrigation and stuff they did on there. Even when famine comes, they always had food over in Egypt. See, they could water. They always had food over there. Why? Because of that river. And so it's important. Do you ever notice people today how they move to water? Even today. See, people even like it. You know, we build all these houses. You know, majority of our population in the United States lives along the coast. Lives along the coast. People don't realize. You know, from here where we live, right here, you can reach 40% of the population of America within 8 hours of where we live. We got some population around here, don't we? Yeah, that's why we have so many of the big trucking companies that they around here in our area. This is a good area because they can deliver stuff. You can do it within an 8-hour drive. For truckers, works great. Does really good. That's why they do it, you know. They don't do it because they just like this area. They think we're cute. They're not doing that. You know, business, there's a reason why they do this stuff. And so he was out here, but so, in other words, God spoke to him when he was down in here of the Chaldeans. We don't know how old he was at that time. We know when he went in the land, he's 75. But how old he was when God first appeared to him or did to him. We're going to find out this about Abraham, which a lot of people don't know. The Bible teaches and tells us. Abraham was a prophet. The Bible even tells us he was. He was a prophet. And this is one of the things is why it's good to study these things about what people think about stuff, because as a prophet, he does not fit the prophet of what people call prophets today. You know? And that's why you gotta, that's one thing as Brother Hagin used to always talk about, you know, that a lot of times so-called prophets don't understand what the prophet's ministry is. Not everybody's called to run around prophesy all the time. And which they think it is. I mean, we don't have any, him doing this kind of stuff out of here. But, you know, this is the way, you know, the Bible says God did. Well, then God did, you know. But what we want to see this, I appreciate the things that we looked at over in Nehemiah. One of the things that they brought out in Nehemiah was this. He said, when we had read that, in verse 8 it said, you found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites. And then he went on to all that land over there and all the people, the different groups that were in that land. In other words, he found him faithful. In other words, so we know there's a period of time that God spent. God didn't just hand him this because he called you. He had to prove himself. This is one of the things I've learned over time of this with the Lord dealing with me with things. There's many times people who have been called to things who were the first called, not the person that's doing it. People got called to it, but they never proved themselves faithful, and God didn't deal with them. You know, God ain't hinging. Because people say, well, if you don't do the will of God and that, then this certain things won't get done. Like, God can't find nobody else. You're the best. He has to have you. Man, we wouldn't even have Christianity today if it ran like that. There's always been people God's been dealing with. But what happened? There's proving time. And it's like I found out that this is the Lord dealt with me in this proving time. He said that Paul said to Timothy, he wrote in Timothy, 1 Timothy 1 in verse 12, he said this, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. It's a time of proving, being faithful. Well, that's what the Lord, I would tell the story about it. I was in Rhema Bible Training Center, and I had left Rhema. Now, God didn't do this just because I went to school. That you don't go in the ministry just because you went to school. That's a bad reason to go. There's a lot of people in the ministry because they went to school and it ain't worked well. You need to know that God's called you to it and God's put you in it. That's what comes on top of it. Amen. See, I knew from the night that I got saved, I was called to the ministry. I knew it. Say, how'd you know? I don't know. I just knew I was. God, I didn't have a voice from heaven. You know, nothing shook. You know, 10 angels didn't appear, you know, playing harps. And I didn't have none of that. I just knew I was called. And then after a while, when Wanda got saved, Wanda knew I was. I don't know how'd you know I was. She just knew it. Just knew. We just knew. Say, how you know that? I don't know. You just know things. Well, I tell you this. See, I didn't start in the ministry. I didn't go just because I had a call to the ministry. And the Lord told me back in 1989, he said to me, when right toward the end of school year was coming up, I was going to graduate and stuff. And I was at school, I was in school, and I was, in fact, we were changing classes. We had been in class. I was leaving one class, going to another class in another building. And the Lord just spoke to me, and he said, because you've done what I've told you to do, and you've been faithful in other people's ministries, I'm going to put you in your own when you leave here. That's what he said. Well, that's, see the Bible. That's not used very much, the Bible. People, you know, when I'm called to the ministry, I don't care. You prove yourself. And how do you prove yourself? With somebody's other stuff. You're going to find out what you are about other people. See, most people don't want to, you know, somebody else isn't as smart as me, so I don't have to submit to them or do anything. It was one of the things, you know. I was under with things with other ministers, but sometimes I thought some people were flaky. But God put me there, and as well as I did, I was faithful to them. I was always faithful. I wasn't haphazard. So you're going to have to prove yourself. He had to be able to prove himself. How did he prove his faithfulness? Well, number one, probably with his, he is definitely with his family and stuff. How is he? You know? Are you faithful to whom you're under? How are you in your job? Are you faithful? Are you submissive to those over you? You know, God told the king in Jerusalem before he was hauled off and his sons were killed before him and his eyes were poked out. The prophet went and told him, he said, God said, submit yourself to Nebuchadnezzar and you'll live and he'll let you stay here in the land. Well, see, I'm sorry, he's a heathen and I ain't going to submit to him. Christians do that all the time. I don't care what heathen your boss is. You're there, you get submissive. Because now you don't, you the heathen. Mm-hmm. Don't you ever criticize them as the heathen if you're acting like the heathen. Because number one, I'm going to tell you this. See, God taught me this because, see, I was one of the heathens. See, and I got saved and God taught me I couldn't be a heathen no more. I worked in a place I didn't like and I didn't like a lot of things. And God told me, you need to learn to be submissive here and you need to do this. See, Ed, you're going to have to change. See, I don't like everything. Well, too bad. You're going to have a hard time on this earth because you ain't going to ever live no place you like everything. You ain't going to ever work for nobody you like everything. That does not exist. The only place you're going to find that, you're going to have to die and go to heaven. So if you're having a hard time here, maybe that's what you ought to do. If you can't take, because see, I found out when I, and I really appreciate it, when I learned submission, it changed my life.
Amen.
I'll tell you, it didn't change things around me. That stuff was still going on, but it changed my life.
Amen.
I wasn't fighting and pushing all the time. I didn't have them. You know.
Amen.
I wasn't fighting and pushing all the time about things. I wasn't going to work and that kind of stuff, and I'm not having, you know. Hey, they're you know, I don't know. They were still doing their thing, but I'm over there. I'm doing my job.
Amen.
I'm doing what I'm told to do. I'm walking in it. I'm fulfilling my work, and I go home from work. See, that's one thing. Wanda and I, you know, we learned we'd come home from work and that stuff. We never carried our jobs home with us. We didn't come home and sit and gripe and moan and that stuff. We used to, you know, sit down, have dinner together, and talk. And we used to have a lot of fun talking dinner, you know, and that kind of stuff. But we didn't drag all that stuff home. See, you drag it home, you're a problem. Now, you might want to hear that. I'm just telling you. I know I was one of the problems. You just did that. But see, if you can't change, you got to change. It's the way things are out here, you know. This one of the problems we have today is because we keep too much information around us all the time. Our phone's with us, finding out things all the time. Hearing about everybody and their problems and stuff, you know. And everybody, you know, telling you everything that, you know, there are problems they're going through on Facebook or whatever else. And telling, well, I'm having this, I'm having that. You don't need to be hearing all that all the time. You don't need to listen to everybody's problems all the time. You know, I always like to say, well, you know, I look at these and then I have things to pray for. If you had to pray for all the problems that you're hearing, you would never quit praying. 24 hours a day, you would never sleep 1 week. No, 99% of the people that do this about this praying thing don't ever pray about nothing. Let's get real. They just love to hear bad news and gossip. Do you hear what so-and-so is going through? Yeah, well, you know, sometimes, you know, somebody close to you and that kind of stuff. But people all the time, you know, because, well, you know, because somebody's always saying, well, you know, pray for me. Well, stop me. Are you praying? Mm-hmm. Well, if you're not, I ain't wasting my time. And, you know, if God tells me to pray for you, I will.
Amen.
But I can't pray for everybody who wants prayer. That's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. I can't do that. I'm sorry. All the billions of people in this world? You think God expects us to pray for all of it all the time or anything? Try it. Tell me how it works out. You know, it's funny. I mean, I've had people over the years, you didn't see them for 20 years, there's something going on. Hey, would you pray for me about this? I look at people and say, well, if God does, I'll pray for you, but, you know, don't count on me. Say, you've waited to run into me to say that. I just, like, wasn't that important anyhow. But see, we think that's a real spiritual thing that we're saying. We have this idea that those kind of things are real spiritual. And we don't think 10 minutes about that thing. Say, is my prayer, would it even be significant? Oh, Lord God, bless so-and-so. Maybe he can't. That's why the problem's going on. Say, Lord, show him what's wrong with his life. Should I tell you what? Lots of times this we need, yeah. Amen. Show them what's wrong. They can correct it and it'll end the problem. Yeah.
Preach.
No, I want to be blessed and still be ugly.
Come on.
I know none of you ever wanted that. It's just sometimes we just had to quit being ugly, didn't we?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, praise God. So this Abraham, he's going in the land. Now, in Genesis, the 12th chapter, we go there. It tells us about what God says to him. Now, God makes this statement to him. This is not, per se, a covenant. God is doing this on the basis of his obedience, as his obeying. We don't know or have anything said about anything God said, per se, in per covenant, just because God said it, because when we find out eventually as we go along in this, when God makes his covenant, this is a phenomenal covenant because of what God does. Has never been done before, we see in end time in Scripture. And we're going to find out it really points to the covenant made through Jesus Christ. Really points to it. As we find this out, because we need to understand, this is a powerful thing that God's going to do. Now, number one, see, God's inspires, to me, this is God's teaching this man. Now, God has a plan to use this man, but this is teaching, telling him what he's going to do for him if you obey, if you do this. So understand this. You can take this. This is a principle of the new covenant. You need to understand this. God will reveal things to you from this standpoint and tell you things that he will do for you, but there's always something you're going to have to do. It's not just going to happen. You know, Jesus died for everyone, but you don't get saved just because he died for everyone. There's something you have to do. And so God is doing this. God is talking to this individual, this Abram. And in Genesis 12, chapter verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said," now this is right after we had finished reading 11. So now he says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram," he had said this. He didn't say it. I always listen to teaching, they always act like, this is just when he said at the time. It's no, he had said. He had told him this before. See, this guy's working to come out of the land. He's working at this. Are you working at it? You just, I'm still working at it. I don't know about you guys. I'm still continually working. God has said things and you're continually working to obey God. You're continually in this thing. You know, for me, now just think about it. I'm born again in 1980. It isn't until 1989. Till the Lord says, "I'm going to put you in the ministry that I called you to." So all that time in between there, that time period, God's proving things out in me, whether or not he's going to do it. He said, the reason he's going to do it, because I was faithful with other people's.
Amen.
In other words, if I had not been, that wouldn't have taken place. That wouldn't have happened in 1989. That wouldn't have taken place. So God's speaking to Abraham. He's telling him what his desire is and to do. Number one, he wants to bless this guy. These are principles of how the spirit realm works. It's always going to work this way. It's always going to work. It doesn't change. There must be reasons. Somebody's doing something that's causing blessing. Somebody's doing something. Now, Abraham, listen to what he says. First of all, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I'm just going to tell you this. For him to take him, he's going to have to get out in a way. Now, what is the purpose of that? Because lots of times I find this out with people. They ain't going to ever change till they get away from, or sometimes who they're around, what they're around. You're going to have to do this. I used to back many years ago, this is back as early Christian, I would, through the Teen Challenge Training Center at that time, they used to have guys, I'd go out and do street ministry. I'd take groups of guys from Teen Challenge. We'd go out and do street ministry. A lot of fun. We'd get down to Reading, different places we'd go to. Sometimes you're in Sid Letty, but we'd come in here and just go around and do things. pastor there, Pastor Ted, he was something. I mean, I was young and got saved, and I mean, Ted would go in a bar and sit down right up at the bar and sit down and start witnessing to people. That's Ted. He's a good guy to be around. It was fun. That's it. He just very bold. But you know what? And we always watched him because people didn't get offended. You know, he was so nice. He just go in and smile at him and tell him, you know, it's like, man, I'm just here to help you. I just, you know, I like you. And, you know, he didn't go in there. You're all going to die and go to hell, you buddy. He might have ended up there doing that. Anyhow, but, you know, went in with him. But we'd do the street ministry and we would go out there and do those. But I found there was one thing that I really didn't like that they did with, because after guys would go through the program, they'd send them back home to where they came out of. And oh, that never turned out good. They went back in among them and things didn't turn out well. You know, sometimes you got to get away from what you're around, the influence. See, people don't realize that, you know. It's hard to bring change to people who don't like to get out and get away from there. Now he tells them, he wants to take him to something. He wants to bless the world, but he can't do it in his dad's house. He can't do it where he's at. He has to leave. And, you know, it's like, you know, as I found, number one, learning to trust God. I remember, like, I was a really diligent student of the Word before I ever went to Bible school. Like, to me, Bible school was not a hard place to go to learn to study because I studied a lot anyhow. I spent a lot of time. I mean, I'd go to work. I mean, when I went to Bible school, I worked 45 hours a week. And I went to school and did study. And I tell you, in those days, you know, I didn't sleep a lot of hours. But you know what? I just loved it. I had a great time. It was never a problem to me. I liked it, you know. You know, people today complain about stuff. You know, it's like, oh, my mercy, you know. Oh, and my job and this and that. They had to go through that. They'd be you think of the whiners now. Man, they're going to be the whiner, you know. But you know, hey, I was in the will of God. I was in the will of God. And you know what? Getting in the will of God, going to do that, God blessed me there. God blessed me there, in fact, so much that in my second year, the Lord told me to take the summer off. Now, I never had the summer off in my life since I was a kid, real little kid, because even as I got like 10 years old, we were working farms and that kind of stuff, doing that kind of stuff in the summertime. He said, take a summer off, spend time with your family. You know, up till that time, we weren't spending a lot of time together. You didn't have a lot of time. And we spent the time, and just God brought money in. God just brought the finances in to do it. He did it. And so doing that, though, but one of the things I found this out, I asked the Lord about Bible school and what it was, because a lot of the classes that I sat in, I had already studied those subjects, and I knew a lot of things, like Brother Hagin's books. I'd already read them, numbers of them, you know, 27 times, and I'd had notes on them and all kind of stuff. So to go into some of these classes, like, man, I could almost stand up and tell them verbatim what they're going to say. But it was good. I mean, I loved it. I sat in class and I ate it up and took notes again. I mean, I just had a great time at it. But I said to the Lord about it, and the Lord said this to me. He said, I wanted you to take you from where you were and move you, because what God did, God moved us, took us, my wife and our two daughters, and moved us across the country and, you know, set us there for 2 years and made us come back. And he said, I wanted you to come to the place where you could trust me that wherever I sent you to do, you'd trust me. See, there's one thing that says, if you haven't done certain things, you don't have faith to do it till after you've done it. You might say, you're going to have to do it to have faith to do it. See, lots of people, you know, I've walked out. I know what it takes to move, to go someplace and go someplace and go back. I know what it takes to do it. See, we can read other people's stories and say, that's wonderful. I'm sorry, I've done it. So there's a place I've walked. Well, Abraham's going to walk in a spot where this is not easy. Understand this. Abraham is going to go to a land where God has going to promise to his descendants, and Abraham is never going to get the land himself. It's a promise to this end, and it's a blessing to others in the future. Are you willing to do things like that? This is why you got to be found faithful. You must be found faithful. This is how it works. See, Abraham became the blessing he was. God said, this is what you know, that's the first out of the list. I'm going to move you out here, get you out of here away. I'm taking you over here to this land. You got to get out of your dad's house. See, you need to understand the great influences that they had. They all lived together on top of each other. People do that today, you know. You know, the Bible tells us in the beginning in Genesis, it said, a man, what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to get out of his father's house. See, you know, you can cleave to your wife. And the people today, and you have people today, you know, we're going to get married and live with our parents for a while, you know, till we can save some money. I'm sorry, you ain't ready to be married. And you ain't have no authority. You're not faithful. God said, get out. Why? Because you need to prove some things. You know? Women, you never marry a guy. If he can't afford it, you're going to move out. You got to live with somebody. And guys, if she has to be with mom and dad, let her stay there. Let her stay with mom and dad. Ain't going to ever have no good marriages out of that. You know? Because why? You're never in authority in your marriage. You're living with somebody else. You're under their authority. And God will deal with you in that manner. God will deal with you, not like an adult. See, people don't know how God operates. God don't usurp authority. God don't break in. See, Abraham's going to have to leave. He's going to go out here. God's going to rule over him. Not the family's needs or whatever. They take care of yourself. Goodbye. We're going. You know, Wanda and I knew when we turned around and God told me to go to Ramah. So, you know, and anyhow, Wanda and I, things we went through, and she knew then that we were supposed to go. And so, you know, there's family don't want you to go, you know. They won't want you, you know. Christian family. No, you need to stay here with us. We love God some, but we don't like change and discomfort. And that's discomforting. It is. People have a hard time with these things. You know, somebody's going to go do something. You see parents, you know, their child, you know, going to go off to college, and you'd think, my God, you know, they're going off to war. They're going to, you know, they're going to probably get a flak jacket on. They're going to shoot them for sure out there. Maybe some of the colleges are better off shot than going there. But anyhow, you know, people do this kind of stuff and things. You know, it's they hate to see people grow up. I learned this over time. People have to grow up.
Amen.
They got to. And they can't do it if somebody's always clinging to them.
Come on.
They can't do it. You know? And they go away to take care of themselves. You know, people don't do that, you know. We got to pay all the bills, take all care of all the stuff and do everything. And we got to monitor and everything. And you have to have your phone on you all the time. So when I call, you're jumping answer. And we got to have all this stuff because this is safety. No, it is. It's called fear.
That's right.
God can't take care of you. You know, poor Abraham didn't have a cell phone and God looked after him. Whoever thinks a miracle like that could happen? He went into a land. You don't have any place in America that's like that. See, we know very little America about trusting God. We trust our stuff. Great confidence in our stuff. Our technology. They say, well, God gave it to us. Well, did he? God gave man the ability to create things and build things and do stuff. But that don't mean God gave it to us to do. See, we need to understand, there's a lot of things we'd have been good if we'd had restraint. I tell you, wait till AI kicks in good. Glory to God, I'm going to be cheering. Hallelujah. But you know, people need to, I mean, but we're going to have, you know, but people are going to get so dependent. People are already doing it, and what AI is doing right now. Very dependent, can't think for themselves, can't, you know, I don't study to find things anymore. Let's ask Siri. She's going to be my God and give me my information. Because I don't have to look things up anymore. Aren't we dumb enough yet? Haven't we got stupid enough yet? You know, I'm still one of those dummies that does this, you know, longhand study and looking stuff to find out. I want to find out if what they're telling you is true. Yeah. And it's amazing how many times you find out it's not. Right. You get one side of the story. And think we're making good decisions. Well, Abram, you got to get out. And he said, now why? Am I being mean to you? Because this is what happens if you get out. This is happening. See, you need to understand this. We can put this over in our side here today. Many people get saved but never leave this land of sin. They stay there. And you know, the devil will do this to people. I've watched it. Well, you need to stay where you're at because you can reach people from there. And what happens is they get reached again. They don't come out of the land of sin. You got to come out of there. Then he says this. Why? This is the way God looks at it. You leave this for this. Now, this is where we have to make a decision of what is important. What do you want? You may have any wants and desires. I mean, sit down and think about this. Oh, I can see that, Lord. But think about it. If we all sit down, there's things that we could all talk about, things that we would like maybe to have changed, things we would want, or maybe we even call have a desire for this and that, that we do. But what will we do to have that? That makes the whole difference. See, we basically operate today as, I want or desire this, the government ought to get that for me. Or this group should, or this person, or that person ought to do this for me. You know, this guy got a lot of money, why can't he use his over here? And what we don't realize all the time that this is all sin. It's all right. Sin. Coveting for other. I don't care if a guy's a billionaire, he don't know me nothing.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he don't know you nothing. I'm not going to covet his money, because if I do, God can't bless me.
That's right.
See, many people are asking God to bless him while they covet other stuff. I'm not coveting his stuff. If he don't do right with his stuff, that ain't my problem. Mm-hmm. My problem is me doing right with my stuff.
Amen.
I said, well, I ain't got much stuff. Well, you better do right. If you can't handle a little bit of it, you don't want no more.
That's amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
It's what you do with what you got. That's what we want and I learn. It's what we did with what we had. We started off, you know, like I said, you know, you're in the bottom of the barrel might be sitting on you. You know, it might be that situation. But whatever you have, be right about that. You know, be thankful for any. You might not see it. Well, you know, there's a lot of things Mon and I could sure use, but we learned this. We learned that what we do have, we're going to be thankful about. Let's be thankful about our ideas. We got over, we didn't expect somebody else to do stuff. Yet God turned and blessed our lives. Other people did stuff for us. But we didn't go searching for people to do stuff for us. We didn't do that. We trust God and God blessed us. Now, so God says this. Now, if you do this, I have this for you. I'll make you a great nation. Wow. I mean, that's quite a thing to say to somebody. Now, you know what you know, I'm just going to tell you this. I'll share. God has spoken to me about over the past some things. And when he spoke things to me, at the time in those days, I stopped and I thought, wow, that's really something that's really cool. But as time went on, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, did I hear from God or was that a pizza dream or what would I heck was? That's a bit out there. You know, that seems pretty far out. That seems pretty far. Do you ever have that happen? God told you something a long time ago you thought was really cool, and today when you look at it, it's like, well, I tell you, you're going to do what I did. I wasn't walking in faith with it. One day he had to call me on it. And he said, I told you that, and you need to start walking in faith, and I'm going to bring that to pass. Because, see, I got it over in my mind, you know. So Abraham's going to have to keep this thing. Now, Abraham's going to have to keep this thing, we know, from this to standpoint. 25 years. The least of it hasn't even come to pass. Now, he's going to be blessed financially, but becoming a great nation ain't even starting until 25 years. I think he was found faithful again. Think about it. So, on top, let me make a question. Now listen, I will bless you and make your name great. Now think about this. I'm going to a land, it is full of heathen nations, doing all kind of heathen things. Nobody knows me there. There's a lot of open spaces, and that's where I'm going to, and my name's going to get to be great? Okay. You better have heard from God. Do you know, I just want to say this to you though. It was very helpful. When I heard Kenneth Hagin say this, I was really glad to hear it, because he said, you don't go in the ministry because you have just a witness in your heart you're supposed to. He said, you don't go into ministry because somebody else said you're called to something, or your mama said, or your wife said, or this guy said, or whatever. He said, you know God has dealt with you. And see, God dealt with me over the years concerning ministry. So I knew. I had a witness I was, but God dealt with me. Because why? I will just tell you this. The more God responsibility God puts in your life, the more it's going to take to stand in it. Of you to stand in it. Yeah. And you're going to find loads of excuses to want to leave it. The devil doesn't want people to do the will of God. And if any, I'm just going to tell you, ministers are probably attacked more than any of the groups. That's why, as people in ministry, you know, there's one thing about it. There's going to be devils. Why? God, you're a target. You know, you're a target for the devil to try to bring you over into areas of false doctrine and things to preach and teach, just to get your life messed up. Oh man, I found this out. We first started off. Thank God, I had a good wife. Wanda was a very good protector about things because, you know, so-called Christian women, you know, they're always coming hitting on you. You know, it ain't, you know, it's a devil. Mm-hmm. Well, they ain't coming to me because I'm some really good looking giant thing and that thing and that. No, they're coming around. The devil sends them once it gets you out into stuff.
That's right.
Come on.
Wanda would come along and say, watch so-and-so. Boy, and I'd find out she'd be right. She'd be right. Christian women loving Jesus. No, they weren't loving Jesus. I wasn't Jesus, for sure. No. We ain't going to that place. But see, they come along. And see, I find out ministers get very gullible to this, you know, because people come up, you know, they like to be liked by people and stuff. You got to watch that kind of stuff, you know, because... You know, all the people that are, you know, they come up, you're the next best thing since sliced bread. You're just so wonderful. You're just so good. And I'm thinking, boy, they don't know me. Right. But there's a lot of people love to hear that. Tell me I'm wonderful. No, Jesus is wonderful. Amen. And if you like me at all, it's because right. You don't know me yet. Mm-hmm. What if I die? Ask Wanda. But it's like, you know, everybody wants to be, I've never been one that, you know, everybody has to pat me or do something and that stuff, because I find that's a very hard life to live. You know, because it's nice to be one to liked, but you don't want people to get over and it's like, there is a tendency of people to do this. I don't care who it is, who they consider in some place, a position of power. There's people always trying to get to them, always trying to. The ministry is no difference. It is zero difference in the ministry. God uses you. They think if they get close to you, then they're going to get something. It's just like in the natural. It's like that. Somebody always trying to get close to somebody, getting close to this. You know, I know people would, in like in working, and people would be complaining about the leadership and the boss and that kind of stuff. And yet many of the people would even try to suck up to them. Who said they didn't like them? Mm-hmm. What's this all about? So I learned you had to You know, don't pay attention to what they're saying and what they're doing. It's just like, you know, just check, just go to a mirror and look to see how many knives are in your back when you go. Every once in a while, get somebody you know that's good to pull a few of them out and just go on. Just go on, you know. Hallelujah. But see, so God made a promise to this guy. He's gonna bless him. Now he said, notice what he said. And you need to understand this because this is in our covenant. And this is important that you understand this. This is in our covenant. Remember, the blessing of Abraham coming on the Gentiles, coming on us. The blessing. In verse 3 it says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now I want you to get this because this is an important thing. He says here, because see, we have here, you know, there has never been a nation that has succeeded and gone on and hasn't gone to destruction who persecutes the church. It won't do it. Why? This covenant. This is why. God will bless those who bless you. See, with Israel was that way. What, all the trouble we had here in America, Trump steps in and turn around. Now, I understand, this covenant thing stands for Israel. It does stand for them. But I'm going to tell you, we're on the bigger side of it than they are. We are. The people say, you ought to bless Israel. Well, the Jews ought to bless the Christians. It helped them out a whole lot more. We need to understand this. This stands in covenant. This is why we don't have to run around and get on this thing. You know, that's why, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. See, people go against. See, our nation, things were really moving. Under the Obama administration, things began to really move over in the areas away from Christianity, getting further away. More and more persecution and Christianity. Then we had, Trump came in, things started to shift back. But what happened? Next presidency, Biden came in and it like amplified 500 times. The Biden administration, the people he had in there, they hated Christianity. And our nation suffered terribly because of it. You can't, it's an impossibility. You can't stand. See, the first thing of this, God wants to bless. Trump comes in and start bringing church back to its position. Moving to do that. See, people say, well, he ain't actually a Christian. Get your darn eyes off of Trump and get it on God. Use your head. Get your nose out of the news media. People wouldn't know what God's doing for nothing. If you're watching, if you're looking at what Fox and Newsmax and all them or whatever, and anybody else, I don't care what they're doing. Hallelujah. My book tells me some things here. I'm going to stick with my book. Amen. See, if we would start confessing this stuff instead of all this other junk, God will bring the covenant to pass. God blessed Abraham. How would he bless us under the Lord Jesus Christ? If he could do for Abraham what he did, I'm going to tell you what, shame on us. We are the fulfillment. We're living in the fulfillment. If the beginning of this covenant was so powerful concerning that man, what is the end of this covenant? What is the end of it? Think about that. What is the end of this covenant? We're living in the end of this. We're in the finale of this covenant under the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are you going to curse the church of Jesus Christ and be blessed? Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you what, I've just, all through scripture, Israel was a picture of it. Any of the nations that blessed Israel got blessed. You go back looking under David and the nations, the ones that hooked up with David, and then turn around with Solomon in the building of the temple. Those nations flourished. Say, were they under the covenant? Nope. They were just doing what God said. They were blessing God's people. See, the church doesn't stand on this stuff. We're looking for the, I'm just going to tell you this, we're looking for the God of America who is what? The government, to take care of us. The government has to do this, and the government has to do this, that, and do everything to protect this. Now, for us Christians, you know, us Christians, we get persecuted, and what we go to court. You know? They tell you, well, they tell our kids at school, you can't do this or can't do that. The court rules, yeah, you can. But then the evil ones rise up and say, no, you can't do it. We rush back to court. Why don't we stop and say, God, this is what you said. Those ones that are moving against us, you said you'd curse them.
That's right.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm a loving Christian. I'm going to take them to court. I am taking them to court. I'm taking them to the great judge.
Amen. That's right.
We don't. We don't walk by faith. We're not walking in faith with this covenant. This is a powerful thing. We got to sit down and decide. See, we take this, we come over to our covenant, what we call our covenant, and we live. What does this thing start at? This blessing of Abraham and what God was doing. This is our covenant, folks. This is a fulfillment of it, as man's redeemed from the curse of the law. We're on the side. Look at the blessing it came, what God did through this Abraham. It was because of this Abrahamic covenant is why God could bring to pass the covenant with Jesus Christ. Because of it. This is the foundation of it. We have Abraham. What is he called? He's called the father of our faith. What does that mean to people? What does that mean? He's the father. Jesus is the author and the finisher. But Abraham's the father of it. The Bible says that over and over again. Him being the father of faith. Abraham, when we look about what he did and what God did, what people call mistakes was not mistakes at all. What we think didn't cause the problems. God brought blessing. And we're going to turn around and look at some of these things. You know, the Lord really changed my mind on some things and showed me stuff and things from the standpoint of Scripture. Of walking in the light of this. God has great plans for the church, but the church has lost the significance of our covenant. We've become dependent on men instead of on God. We're dependent on men to take care of things and look after things. Say, no, God, it's not wise. You see, persecution against you because of your Christian faith. It's persecution against God. On the road to Damascus, Jesus didn't stop Paul and say, why are you persecuting the Christians? He said, why are you messing with me, boy? You messing with me. You're in trouble. You're either going to follow me or you're a dead man. This is what's going to happen. Paul had a choice on that road. This was the place of life or death. We take it, well, you know, Paul... Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Not a good thing. I don't want Jesus to show up to me and say, Ed, why are you persecuting me? Not a good thing. Paul made a good choice on the road. Paul suffered for a lot of things, but I tell you, Paul would have done a lot more suffering for eternally if he hadn't made the choice. But see, he's coming against the church. God knows how to take care of things. It's coming against the church. When the church comes, you know, when we take the disciples are hauled in and that stuff and they're given a hard time because they're out here preaching the gospel, they're in a temple, they're storing things up, the Jews don't like it. So they call them in and they tell them about it. So what they did is they went home. Now, I'm going to tell you what. They had an actual legal court that they could have went through to actually against what was going on with them as being Jews. But they didn't. They went back, it says, to their group, and they said to them about what happened, and what they turned to God. Go over to the book of Acts and look at what they prayed. He said, God, you hear the heathen raging? Reach forth. This is what we want you to do, God. Get us some really good lawyers. And we'll make some money. Because if we have a lot of money, we can sure get a lot of stuff done. I got to. No, he said, reach forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders are done in the name of Jesus Christ. Huh. They expected something. They expected God to do something, and you know he did. Where the heathen tried to stop the gospel, it blew up more and more and more. It overran them. And the Jews turned around and they brought back persecution against the church. And the church, a lot of them left and moved out of Jerusalem. And in 70 AD, all those people died in Jerusalem. God judged them. It is not good. It is not good to mess with God's people.
Amen.
It will get, God will fix things up. God will do it. And see, I am so glad. I mean, I don't have to run around and take care of me on everything. Hallelujah. You know, I'm the guy that just does with the little stuff. God does the big stuff. He's the miracle worker. I'm not. Hallelujah. And see, it makes life a lot easier. When we're carrying the weight to trying to do it all and we're trying to get others to do what it takes God to do. When we're trying to do through men and through, you know, our courts. Most Christians have more faith in the Constitution than they do in the Bible. They ain't even close. Oh, and they'll tell you, I believe the Bible. Yeah, well, you can believe it. But, I mean, if you ain't hooking up with it, what is it good to do? Good to believe. We need a miraculous. We need a move of God. And I'm just sorry. This is going to be disappointing to a lot of Christians out there. Trump can't bring it. Well, they're expecting him to. They want him to. I thank God for what he's doing. Trump has stood up where most Christians won't. And then he complained about him, about it like, well, you know, he don't talk right, he doesn't do this. Well, I'm going to tell you, he does a whole lot of other things a whole lot better than the people who complain about it. I will give him this. If he believes something, he gets after. I'm tired of people telling me all they believe and don't do nothing. Got to give it to this guy. And this one thing is, he's surely different than all the other politicians, which means he isn't one. He puts his money where his mouth is. And you know what? It's hard to knock a man who'll do that. Hallelujah. I mean, all these guys complaining about him, and they're taking the salaries, and they don't put nothing into the government. They're only takers. They only do for whatever somebody else gives them money to do. You know, we need to be careful. So much in the world, we're living in a world where much of the church world doesn't recognize what God's doing. They don't recognize what God's doing. God's patient. It's just like with Abraham. God was patient with him. God took time. I want you to get all that. God will take time with you. It takes time. It takes time to people to build faith. It takes time where, you know, with us. Some people are faster making steps into things than other ones are. There's reasons. God knows why. But it's understanding. It's God dealing with this man. And this man, he went to a land. And, you know, when I got saved, I went to a land that was totally different than the land I lived before. Total different way of life. There's one of the things. I had to leave a lot of friendships behind and a lot of people I had to leave. You know what? It wasn't people that I hated them or anything like that. But I knew this. I had enough good sense. You know, as an alcoholic and a druggie, you don't go hang out with them. They had a choice. I pulled out, and if you want to be with me, you're going to have to lay that down.
Amen.
Because I can't go back and get messed up in that again.
Amen.
I can't go back to that place.
Amen.
I can't go there. And see, people don't... People are clinging. There's family you just got to get away from sometimes. Sometimes people you just got to, I'm sorry. You got to stop. See, there's many people out here, they say they love you, and what they want you to stick around to become what they are. They don't like it that you might become something different. And maybe you'd even get ahead of them. Oh, we'd hate that. You being right, we ain't going to have that. Oh no. You know, I'm miserable and I want you miserable with me. You ever around some of them? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They ain't going nowhere, and they want you to go nowhere with them. And you have to. And I realized things I had to pull away from. I said, I didn't hate people. But you know what? I learned to be protective of myself because I wanted to walk with God. I didn't want to fall back in the traps that I did before. I didn't want to end up back into what I didn't want to be dominated. I was dominated by too much stuff. You know, it isn't a matter of just being dominated, doing drinking and drugging and doing stuff that, because you get dominated by a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things that dominate and rule over you in those things. And you get away from them. And as people don't understand that. They just sit around and they think, well, you know, we can still hang out together. No, we can't. No, we can't. No. You talk ways and do ways. I ain't going on. We can't, you know. What's funny to you ain't funny to me no more.
Right.
No. It was bondage to me. We can't go there. There's another way of life. See, now if you want to come and join my life, that's fine. You come and join my life. We can hang out. But the other one, we can't hang out. It just don't work out. And see, people don't understand that. They think if you love people, you're just going to... No. Jesus loved the world, but he didn't become like
them. Come on.
And say, oh, yeah, he ate with the sinners. Yeah, he ate with the sinners. Do you think they were sitting around the table talking trash with him?
Nope.
I'll guarantee you they weren't.
Yeah.
This is one thing, is people talking trash, they learn over the years and that stuff. If they sit down at my table, they know. You don't get around ahead and do that.
Amen.
Say, no. We ain't having that other stuff. Uh-uh. No. You want to reach sinners? You got to be in a position where you're in charge of you.
Amen.
See, there's things you can do. I mean, I could go sit in any bar today, and I could go up and sit at the counter and anything, and you know, it don't bother me to sit there and drink or do anything like that. But you know, at first it wasn't a good idea to do that. That was not a good idea to go do that. You know. You know, you want to get drunk. No, you don't. You got to pull away. You got to get yourself to where you get in control, where you know what you can do and know what you can't. And so you have to find out about your life. You know, there's certain people, and I'm not talking about drugging and drinking. There's certain people who are just downright negative you need to quit hanging around with.
Preach.
Because when they get around you, they get you in another mood. Preach. They get and come and talk their junk. You need to learn. Even Christians, you got to learn to stop saying, no, I'm sorry. No, I'm not going there. I'm not going to that place. That's that land I left. And God said there's a blessing for me. And if I hang on that from that land, it's going to take that blessing from me.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to rob me of what God has. And you have to stop and say, hey, hold it. We can't go there.
Amen.
We can't hang around with that.
Amen.
There's people you just can't. I mean, there's people, they just, you know, especially today, there's so many negative people, they just want to talk junk all the time.
Preach.
Everything's bad, everything is. Hey, there's a lot bad. Discussing it, does that change it?
No.
No, all you can discuss it a while, and after a while, you'll be just part of that bad. You'll just you'll be as depressed as they are, and after a while, man, I need to smoke some pot, and I feel better. Man, I just... See, get that bottle over there and give that to me. We need a few swigs. I got to feel better. Yeah, well, that's right. See, no, I wouldn't do that. I would just go to the doctor and get some legal drugs. Yeah, because I can get the really good stuff from them. And it's legal, I can take it. Just as much bondage. Just as much bondage. Just as much bondage. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just think most people need an electric shock treatment. I just think, I just go stick their hand in a socket. Get them awake, then we can talk to them. All right? Let's stand to our feet today. Hallelujah. But I just want you to get the things that God's love for you, His care and concern. He has promised you blessing. The reason He's called you out is because it's His desire to bless you. He didn't call you out because He wanted to hurt your life or He wanted to mess you up. He called you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light because His whole interest is in blessing. That's what it is. That's why, you know, it's a covenant of blessing. That's what it is. It's a covenant. We're in a covenant where the curse of the law has been put away. Understand this. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. The law's already fulfilled. The church is still trying to fulfill the law. We got to stop this. The law is fulfilled. The covenant God established through Abraham has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus to its fullest. Hallelujah. It is sitting today. We're going to look more back into this thing of this Abraham. The more I look at him, the more I'm impressed by him. I always liked Abraham, and I always really liked Jacob. I liked Jacob. He was a go-getter. I just liked about Jacob, you know. Jacob wanted the blessing, and he didn't care who he had to climb over to get it. If you're going to stand in his way, you're going to have footprints. It's just that way. I'm after God. If you're after something else, don't play religion in front of me, because I'll walk over you to get to God.
That's right.
You know? Hallelujah. You might be one of the devil's defensive linemen, but I'll walk over you. I'm going to get to God the quarterback. I'm going to go over there. I want to get near him. I want where the God has the ball. We're playing the game for the ball, aren't we? That's what we are. You always want dominance of the ball. You win the game that way. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Well, God has the ball. He does. And he ain't trying to keep it from you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He wants you to have the ball today. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's called you out to bless you and make you a blessing. Not just for you, to be a blessing to the world, to this whole world.
Amen.
It's what you're called to.
Yes.
A blessing to this whole world. Say, how can I be a blessing to the whole world? I don't know. But God said, God could do it. God can make you a blessing in whatever. I'm sure Abraham sat down and scratched his head. You know, you have one kid. Well, this is really good. Boy, are we knocking it out now. Hallelujah. But God blew up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he's cheered today as a champion for God. God said, I'll make your name great. He did it. Didn't he? He made his name great. Hallelujah. Why? A man of faith. He believed God when it didn't seem like it was worth even believing. Hallelujah. Praise God. How about you?
Amen.
Glory to God. Father, we just want to say thank you today. Father, I'm so glad we can look into your word and see these wonderful things. Your plan's working from the beginning. You were doing such marvelous, great things. And I want to thank you, Father. Father, we're fortunate in time that we got to be in the side of the fulfillment of the covenant. And I want to say thank you. Lord God, I'm wasn't under the law. I'm glad I wasn't under that. Lord, I got to be in a really a greater time period. That is just such a blessing to be on this side where Jesus Christ fulfilled the covenant. What a blessing it is. Hallelujah. And Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord God, revealing these things to us and giving us understanding so we can walk in a greater place. Lord, we just want to be a greater blessing to this nation. Lord, there's such division and all those going, but you're bigger than all this stuff. You're greater. Your words of your covenant are greater than all this craziness and nonsense that goes on among people and whatever's happening. Hallelujah. We're your church and you've called us to peace and rest. And Lord God, we're going to walk in this covenant you've given us. This covenant is a covenant of blessing. And Lord God, hallelujah, I just want to thank you, Father, that just as you spoke to Abraham, our forefather, and you said to him, hallelujah, that you're going to bless those who bless us. And Lord God, the people that bless the church and the people, Lord God, that bless us, Lord God, bless them wonderfully in the name of Jesus. Lord God, pour your goodness out on them. Show yourself to them and your kindness and great mercy as you have designated in your word. And Lord God, in just the way, the ones who curse the church. For God, awaken them for the situation that they're in. Let them see, Lord God, hallelujah. Lord, that they cannot oppose you and get away with it. They need to know. They need to know, Lord God, there's an answer. Oh, Lord God, today in this world, Lord God, there's great, 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 great opposition in this world. Lord God, many Christians are suffering in many nations. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we call and stand on that covenant. Hallelujah. Lord God, to bless those who bless the church. And Lord God, to bring upon the heads the judgment they deserve of those ones who are cursing the church, who are working against the church of Jesus Christ, who are slaughtering Christians. Lord God. Father, we call and stand on the covenant. We call you. Lord, we're looking at and wanting others to do and take care of these things. No, Lord God, we call to the God of heaven. You said you would do that. You would bless those who bless, Lord God, and you would curse those. So, Lord God, we're going to trust you to go to work in these things. Lord God, in Nigeria, I just thank you. You're going to work there. Hallelujah. Lord God, in these other nations, there's many nations, Lord God. Lord, in China, there's areas of been great persecution on the Church of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that you're rising up great on behalf of the Church. Hallelujah. Lord God, that you'll manifest yourself, Lord God, in all your glory.
Amen.
And I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will move mightily. Show yourself strong on behalf of your Church, it is. Hallelujah. And we just want to say thank you for doing that. Lord God, you're a great God. I'm just so glad we can trust you and we can have confidence in you. Lord God, we have a future. No matter what man does, we know where we end up. Lord God, there's so many in this earth, they don't know where they're going to be, what they're going to be. But hallelujah, Father, I just want to thank you, Lord God, that we can have boldness in the day of judgment. The word says so. Hallelujah. That we have confidence. And so thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing for us and you will do through us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.